podcast. It is, what the hell is it today? Tuesday. Goodness, Tuesday, December the 31st, New Year's Eve. It's thrown me off a little bit the last couple weeks because normally, obviously, this airs on a Wednesday and then, you know, it's airing on a Tuesdays the last couple of weeks. So, today's episode is going to be a little bit different. It's actually going to be a lot different just because I can't anticipate that there's going to be a ton of people listening to this week. December has been a very, very strange month as far as podcast listenership has gone. But with that being said, patronage for the podcast is as good as it's ever been. So that means that there are more supporters of the show, monetarily speaking, than there ever has been, which is awesome. So let me start off by giving a big shout out to all of the patrons of the podcast, patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. If you like what it is that you hear, if you get value out of this podcast, throwing a few bucks in the tip jar every month can really make a big difference. It helps be able to pay for the publishing costs, cost of the equipment, the cost of spending the time to do these, all that kind of stuff. So shout out to Jennifer, Eddie, Jenny, ironically, Sean. Let's give a big old shout out to Christina, Holly, Ross, Julie, Casey, Caroline, Alyssa, Brian, Sarah, Stan, Adrian, Kristen, Sarah, Helen, Arnie, Barb, and Kim. So these are all people that are putting forth a couple of bucks, 25 bucks, 50 bucks, whatever it is, every single month into the podcast. And so I wanted to thank you. So I got an email a couple weeks ago. Let me pull up the name of the person, Frederick. So Frederick said, Eddie, how about giving those currently stuck your story again? Most of us have heard snippets of it, but perhaps not so much how you healed using your own methods. Listeners clearly have a lot of faith in your summaries and advice. A reminder might help many of us get back on track. Just a thought. Cheers, Fred. So I was thinking, what sort of way could I do this? There was a episode I put out a couple of years ago, a little bit more than a couple of years ago, probably was like episode 9 or 10-ish, where I started, I think it was called How My Pain Became Chronic. So this is going to be similar to that one, but now I've got a couple more years of perspective that I can talk a little bit about. But still, trying to timeline out this long journey would be tough. So I thought, what is it that I could do that really helps tell the picture or paints the picture really well of this TMS personality, an overthinker, a people pleaser, a perfectionist, a goodist, right? Somebody who crosses all their T's, dots all their I's all the time, good at everything that they do, or try to be as good as they can at everything they do. And I remember that I went to, this was in the midst of probably practitioner number 20 that I had seen. And there was a doctor that was local that did not take insurance, but promised this revolutionary technique that would end chronic pain. And but one thing they asked to do was to create a timeline of your pain. When did it start? What was going on? What was the symptom? All this kind of stuff. So I went back and I found that document and I started reading it a few days ago. And it is 6 pages, almost 7 pages of every minute detail, the exact dates of things. And I thought just throwing some of these out at random would be, I think it'd be a good telltale sign because I'm going to guess that it mirrors the ways to which a lot of you have had different pain issues. I've added a couple of things to this, but I'm gonna start basically where things started to get really bad. And then I'm going to Tarantino it a little bit and go back a little bit as I start to have some realizations. So bear with me. It's very timeline oriented. It may be tough to follow sometimes. Hopefully it will be coherent. And I may cough a couple of times, but it's just the way that it is. So without further ado, so the end of 2015, this was Halloween of 2015, I had a weightlifting incident. I subluxated, that's the guess, my shoulder, dislocated my shoulder. Doing a snatch. So if you don't know what a snatch is, just go to YouTube and type in weightlifting snatch or CrossFit snatch or whatever it is you'd like to do. So it was a max out attempt. It was 187 pounds. I made the lift, got a little out of position in the catch, threw the bar down in excitement. Felt a little off, but you know, is what it is. Finished up the weightlifting session, all that kind of stuff. Spent that night, the next day, really worried about maybe injuring myself, that something really bad had happened. And that was kind of all that I could think about because as an athlete, if you have an injury, especially to a major joint like that, fear will strike the heart of you. And I think that's kind of part of what I was experiencing. So as the next couple of months rolled on, I was going to several different doctors, different shoulder doctors, specialists, recommendations, chiropractors, things like that. And a lot of them had just said that it seems like you're fine. Maybe you got out of position. You're having some pain. Here's some anti-inflammatories, that kind of thing. But there wasn't a lot of concern about big time damage. But still, in my heart of hearts, I just felt there's damage. I need to get an MRI. I need to get imaging. I need to get the story, right? So I finally get somebody to agree to write up an MRI order for me. Go and get the MRI done. And it says I have a Hagel lesion, which is a humeral avulsion of the glenohumeral ligament, if I can recall correctly, which is this ligament that essentially attaches to your pec, but also goes into the shoulder. And basically, it was just really obscure injury. It was tough to even find anything online about people that ever had a Hagel tear. So that's what I went in thinking. Had surgery scheduled with a doctor. Went, got a second opinion by the head physician or the head doctor for the Seattle Seahawks, Dr. Ed Calfan. Took my imaging to him. He saw something completely different on the imaging than the first doctor saw. He saw a torn labrum, potentially a torn rotator cuff. We scheduled surgery. He said, you're going to get better. I left the office feeling very, very good. What was interesting is that every other doctor that I had went and saw had no answers. They didn't have anything conclusive. They said, could be this, could be that. Well, let's just see how it goes. And I would leave feeling inevitably worse. And when Dr. Calfian said, you're going to get better, I had a 95% reduction in pain, I would say, within a day or so. I went back to the gym that day and had my surgery scheduled. So April 7th, 2016, I have my left shoulder surgery. I had a Bankart repair, which is a labrum, a articular cartilage microfracture, which is actually kind of cool, the technology behind it. If you have a terrible cartilage tear, one of the things that sports doctors do these days, orthopedists, is that they drill little holes into the bone. That starts to regrow in cartilage. You get this new fibrous tissue that is there, and boom, the body healing itself. I think it's awesome, actually. But and then a supraspinatus, which is part of the rotator cuff debridement. So that was Dr. Calfian. He was at ProLiance. And then my physical therapist was Dr. Dave Patrick, who I worked with for the next, it was supposed to be 6 months, ended up only being 4. So I get into July of that year, and I was sitting at a stoplight in a town close to mine, and I got rear-ended by a guy. He took off. I sped after him. He ran a red light that I was not willing to run, but somebody called 911 on this guy. It was a hit and run. Turns out it was a DUI. He caused a couple $1,000s in damage to my brand new car. My car was only 40 days old at the time. And I thought I was fine. And I went and rode my motorcycle later that day, all that kind of stuff. So keep in mind, that was in July. So then we get to September, and I'm cleared for all activity. However, the next day I'm working out at the gym, and I do some pull-ups, and I basically keep telling myself throughout the workout that I had all these months of rehab, don't fuck this up. And I had a really intense spasm in the middle of my back, going all the way up into my neck. And then I started having, I just felt off. I had the pain primarily on my left side and my delt, my bicep, my ring finger, my pinky. I just didn't feel like the muscles in my mid back were working very well, working at all. And I was freaking out. And as I'm sitting there racking my brain and I'm Googling what it is that's going on, whiplash starts to get talked about. So I'm thinking back to this thing in July with the drunk driver that rear-ended me, right? So it's kind of like now the worst fears of mine are happening. I go back to the doctor's office, the person who did my surgery. The PA does tests for my labrums, my rotator cuffs, and everything checks out. He said, your strength tests are fine. So I don't know what it is, basically. So again, more ambiguity. So I took it easy during my workouts, drastically reduced my training regimen over the next couple weeks. Basically, I was just hoping that some low-impact exercise would cure me, which in the athletic community and CrossFit community, a little bit of movement is kind of what the prescription is in a lot of ways. You know, movement is better than stillness, and that's something I firmly believe and agree. But it just was not helping, and I started thinking that I got really concerned because, again, Dr. Google, that I had detached my rhomboids or maybe low traps, my scapulas. That's what I thought had happened. And then I started researching surgeons. There was one in Southern California named Dr. Ben Rubin, who I planned on flying down to go and see. This all sounds so absurd as I say it years later, who I planned to fly down and go and see, have him evaluate me. Okay, so this was September 7th that this happened, this spasm. September 22nd, I began seeing a chiropractor. His focus seemed to be on kinesio taping, and then along with active release technique, I think is what it's called, ART, of my upper traps. I saw him for 4 sessions, paid out of pocket. The day after my first session with him, though, I started having intense flu-like symptoms all through the night, all into the next day, where I'm talking diarrhea, I'm talking vomiting. It was really bad. So fast forward into October, October 9th, I'm at a sporting event in Sacramento. I had an intense burning pain throughout the levator scapula on my right side. So start to notice the pattern here. I'm naming body parts. I'm visualizing these body parts, these things that are going wrong inside of my body. So keep that in mind. October 10th. Called my PT that I used during shoulder surgery to help me figure this out. He was puzzled. He did some manual therapy on my neck, traps, upper back. By this point, I didn't have much pain in my arms. It was mostly just the pain in my upper back. Lots of trigger points, the inferior scapulas to the mid traps. By this point, most of the pain was on my right side now. It started on my left. He prescribed an at-home program of thoracic rotation to the right side and the serratus interior strengthening, along with diaphragmatic breathing exercises. He suspected that I had thoracic outlet syndrome. So that was the first kind of diagnosis for TOS, which I've talked about a lot. And that's going to become a recurring theme because I got diagnosed that a couple more times going through this. October 17th, I picked up a book written by a physical therapist in New York City named Ming Chu. His book was entirely about fascia restrictions throughout the body. In the book, he recommended diet adjustments, no sugar, limiting carbs, and eliminating any sort of fatty acids. In the book, he recommended stretches that you were to do 1 to 2 times per day. So I see that book, and that book made a lot of sense to me as I read it. It was called The Ming Method. I thought it was an awesome book. I saw my PT for the second appointment. By this point, most of my pain was gone, probably 85%, but I still did have some scapular winging and not being able to feel, quote unquote, my rhomboids. So David did a little bit more manual therapy as he did in the previous appointment and added some manual therapy to my rib cage as well. October 20th, so this is just a few days after getting the Ming Method book and doing the diet and all that kind of stuff. I was sitting at my desk at work and I felt a large spasm in my right lat / serratus. I grabbed a foam roller, pinned it down, stretched, and suddenly that feeling of tightness and tension all throughout my body literally just melted away, completely gone. My rhomboids and mid-back felt like I had had a really good workout, but I could do everything with them. The pain literally was 100% gone. It was like a dream. I thought, oh my God, all this stuff worked. 10 days later, I was at a gas station with my daughter. Some people on the podcast have heard this. I was at a gas station with my daughter. She dropped her shoe in the back seat. I reached over her car seat to reach for it, and I felt a really very painful muscle spasm that ran from the thoracic outlet of my left side, ran all the way up to my mid-ear, and within 3 or 5 minutes, all my pain and tension was back, but this time it was on both sides. So the fear of God was in me at this point because I was 100% cured 10 days prior to this. And then I have this spasm in my neck and I think everything is back, only worse this time. And so I'm just freaking out. I remember that drive home. I was more scared than I had been in a long time. My assumption of what I was visualizing, because I knew the body so well at this point in time, is that I had these pinched nerves in my neck. And so by reaching for this shoe, it somehow caused my neck to move in a certain way and then pinch the nerves and then caused everything to go off. Physiologically, that doesn't even make sense because both my sides were affected. So it wouldn't make sense bending to one side and causing a problem like that. So here we are, early November 2016. So I sought trigger point injection therapy and someone more specialized to look at my neck and try to solve the puzzle. I saw this guy, Dr. Frankie, at Seattle Sports and Spine, and I saw Dr. Frankie 3 times. Appointment 1 was a consultation. Dr. Frankie assumed that it was fascia restrictions in the upper back that were causing all my problems. He did manual therapy. Appointment 2 were trigger point injections. By the 3rd appointment, Dr. Frankie was stumped. He said, I tend to find with these things. Now, this is a pivotal moment too. I tend to find with these things that if you stop thinking about the pain will stop. Again, I tend to find with these things, if you stop thinking about the pain, then the pain will stop. That was the last time I saw him. So when I wrote this thing, I was so infuriated about all these doctors that couldn't find anything. And I was so insulted that he had said that statement that I never went and saw him again, even though his statement turns out to be dead on, which is so crazy. I feel like I should call him and tell him that. November 7th, so this is just a few days later, began seeing Dr. Ross at Soto Health and Performance. His hypothesis was that the muscles on the front of my body were pulling my back out of alignment. He would focus on ART sessions on my pecs, my hip flexors. He also used a lot of kinesio tape and prescribed strengthening of my mid-back muscles during a six-week program to get them pulled back. I went 6 weeks. I saw him 2 to 3 times per week. Felt no change. So I find that in – I ripped chiropractors a little bit on last week's episode, and I got a few messages from people that were saying how in poor taste that was, basically. And keep in mind, I always say this is my experience with chiropractors and with any other kind of practitioner. My experience, so you may have one completely different. You may be a chiropractor listening to this, and the way you practice is totally different. In my experience, a lot of the explanations for things and the problems with people are so circumstantial. So this guy, Dr. Ross, had said, the muscles in the front of my body were all pulling my back out of alignment. The next logical question should then be, why are all the muscles in the front of my body so freaking tight and stretching everything out in the front of me? And that question is never really answered. Sometimes if you do some Googling, they might say that it's your posture. Your posture is all fucked. So you're sitting at a computer, you're sitting at a desk, whatever. And I feel like that's very incomplete too. So end of December 2016, I was recommended another chiropractor, Dr. Pond in Seattle by a fellow weightlifter. Went for an appointment. Dr. Pond suspected that it was an issue with my scalenes, which are some of the muscles in your neck. We focused on breathing techniques. He also did Graston treatment to the upper back, which is a type of scraping. He recommended 3 to 4 visits per week for several weeks, so I did not proceed. End of December 2016, I experienced flu-like symptoms again. Fever at 103 degrees for 2 to 3 days, along with vomiting and diarrhea. So early 2017, worked with a new PT in West Seattle after reading a book on scapulocostal syndrome and how it was treated with ultrasound and laser therapy. This PT was listed as the only one in Seattle that had these things. I had 2 sessions with him, mainly focused on serratus anterior strengthening. I discontinued as the commute was too far and I wasn't having any progress. Early January 17 as well. At the recommendation of a colleague, I went to Kinetic Sports Rehab to work with chiropractor Dr. Molina. Dr. Molina suspected dorsal scapular nerve entrapment. The appointments consisted of a 10-minute interview / discussion, 5 to 10 minutes of treatment, 10 to 15 minutes of physical therapy, rehab, exercises. Dr. Molina recommended a treatment of 3 times per week for 3 to 4 weeks. The sessions were billed to insurance and would take up 1 chiropractor visit and 1 physical therapy benefit per appointment. I noticed no difference after 5 sessions and discontinued entirely. Mid-January 17, I went and visited another chiropractor, Dr. DeBell of the Movement Fix. He recommended nerve glide exercises for 2 weeks. This also did not work. I discontinued. Mid-January 2017, went back to Dr. Kalfian, who did my shoulder surgery, to re-examine my shoulder girdle. He checked my labrums, my rotator cuff, and said all my shoulder tests were fine. He attributed my pain to a dysfunction in my neck. So not necessarily a disc, but it could be a facet issue. This is coming from your neck. He referred me to a physiatrist, Dr. Weinstein at UW. So I went into that appointment with no pain in my neck. Didn't have the pain in my neck. This was exclusively a back problem. I left that appointment in more pain in my neck than I'd ever had in my entire life. And that persisted for months after being told this is a problem with your neck. So this is another issue of people wearing a white coat that we are investing all of our trust into. And this happens all the time. This is not just my experience. Mid-January 2017, I read about craniosacral therapy and fascial strain, counter strain, and thought I'd give it a shot. I spoke with a therapist about my issue. He said, one treatment and you'll be all clear, $250 per session. I drove 40 miles to have the session. As it progressed, he said, you're going to need 2 to 3 sessions to clear this up. I felt no different after one session, and I hated the bait and switch, so I did not go see him again. Late January 17, I called the physical therapy facility that I used for my shoulder surgery, said I had a weightlifting competition, I needed an appointment ASAP. The physical therapist who treated me treated the subscapularis and the levator scapula. He prescribed thoracic rotation, breathing exercises. The subscap release gave me a lot of pain relief, but I still had a lot of the restriction that I had before. I'd go to bed feeling better, but would wake up way worse than I felt before the appointment. The best way I could describe it is I felt entirely dried out, particularly in the upper back and in my deltoids. Early February 17, I meet Dr. Weinstein at the University of Washington. He said that he did not believe that it was a neck issue. I asked him about thoracic outlet syndrome. He dismissed it immediately. Said I couldn't have TOS because I don't have a cervical rib. he suspected a very tight pec minor was pulling my muscles out of alignment. He referred me to an ART practitioner for 4 sessions, told me to schedule another appointment with him after I was done. Next one. This is the early February to end of February 2017. I worked with a chiropractor and an ART specialist in Edmonds. That's where I live. Their treatment was not aggressive and had me coming in typically two times per week for a few weeks. The chiropractor would always note you have rotation at the lower cervical spine and would give me an adjustment each time I came in. I did not feel any relief after any of these appointments. I returned to Dr. Weinstein after the ART, told him it had not worked, didn't give me any sustained relief. He said if I wanted to do a cervical MRI to rule in or out conditions, we could. I had that MRI. The radiologist said all of the discs and facets are normal. I became frustrated, and Dr. Weinstein explained that a humbling part of his job is that sometimes he simply cannot figure out people's pain. And that was that. That was the end of that. I started seeing a Rolfer at Seattle Rolfing Therapy. $150 per session. I went to 8 sessions. She would focus on my hips, my neck, my delts, my chest. This gave me little relief, but never lasted. So that was $1,000 down the drain. And one of the things that she had told me is that I had a hip hike. I had a lateral pelvic tilt. Pelvic tilt is one of those, again, made up things, kind of like posture, that people try to explain as the reason for pain, but it doesn't seem to be at all. So that was the explanation after 8 sessions for some reason that wasn't fixed at all. So early March 2017, after doing some internet research about doctors in Seattle that have a knack for diagnosing what nobody else can, I came across Dr. Winston Warm at the University of Washington. I scheduled an appointment with him. Mid-March of 2017, I started acupuncture treatment. The acupuncturist explained the acupuncture will cure 90% of people that do not have a structural injury. She recommended 2 times per week for 6 weeks, but said after 4 visits, if I don't have a fairly significant change, that it probably wasn't going to work for me. I did 5 treatments and didn't have any difference. So it's nice because this person at least had said, I'm going to recommend 2 times per week for 6 weeks, but if after 4 visits you don't have any improvement, this probably isn't going to be for you. So at least they said that. Mid-March of 2017, I had my annual physical with my GP, Dr. Story at UW. I explained my suspicion of thoracic outlet syndrome and some kind of nerve entrapment. He did TOS tests. He ruled that out. He recommended a physiatrist, Dr. Oberg, at the University of Washington. Mid-March 2017, I saw Dr. Warm, and he simplified the injury and said, I do not have a nerve issue, but yet just a strained rhomboid. He prescribed ice and stretching for a few weeks, and that would clear it up. It didn't, by the way. I kind of felt like I got a strained rhomboid. That doesn't explain the pain I'm having all through my neck and my mid-back and into my arms and into my fingers, and it doesn't explain any of that. Mid-March 2017 through May of 2017, an old friend from high school reached out to me on Facebook to tell me that she had been following my injury struggle and that she worked with a fantastic chiropractor who specializes in nerve issues. Dr. Lee at Mobility Plus Sports Rehab in Seattle. Dr. Lee diagnosed me with brachial plexus compression. The brachial plexus is it's a bundle of nerves, arteries, veins, different things at the base of your neck. And it's essentially the same thing as thoracic outlet syndrome. So he said I had brachial plexus compression. In fact, when I would be in there and he would like do an exam, he'd ask me if something hurt. I would say it didn't. He would tell me that it should hurt, and then it would start to hurt. So kind of wild how that works. I saw him 2 times per week for 7 weeks, and then one per week after that. He would tell me to do nerve glides. He'd have me focus on my core. He told me that after 6 weeks, I would feel like myself again, and I'd be fully healed. At 4 weeks, I hadn't had much improvement at all and expressed my frustration to him. He got upset with me, told me that tissues heal differently, and it may take 8 weeks, could take 12 weeks, could take more. I continued his therapy through mid-May and have made a little bit of progress, but it was nothing near I could help. I still can't feel my rhomboids. My neck still hurts. My hands still have coldness. My hands still have tingling. Didn't help. April 2017, I saw Dr. Oberg at UW. I felt really at ease with Dr. Oberg. Dr. Oberg was actually a total sweetheart. More than the other doctors I had seen, he suspected a nerve problem, likely a dorsal scapular nerve, which was a long suspicion of mine. He wanted to do an EMG to confirm and assured me that we would figure this out together. So felt good about him. Still do. I think he's a good guy. So late April 2017, I had the EMG test. Test showed a disruption of the median nerve on my right side. He tested my traps, biceps, triceps, serratus, lats, levator, rhomboid minor, rhomboid major, The serratus had a showed a problem. The rhomboid major showed a problem. He was puzzled because the levator, rhomboid minor, and rhomboid major all share one nerve, and yet I was only having problem with one part of that. He suspected perhaps it was deinnervated, but didn't know how that could happen. He's never seen that before. He said he would need to get with other colleagues and figure out what to do next. I left feeling very deflated and feeling like this will just never get resolved. Hopelessness, fear. Late April 2017, I started researching nerve entrapments and providers who could help with this. Looking online, there were a few specific doctors that talk about these specific nerves. I was led to Dr. Steele in Helena, Montana, and exchanged several emails with him. I began planning this trip to Montana. Late April 17, a friend of mine with a really bad thoracic outlet syndrome case, he will need surgery. He told me to go see this doctor at Seattle Sport and Spine, Dr. Singh. He said an isolated nerve injury isn't impossible, but it is improbable. He examined me and says he thinks that I have thoracic outlet syndrome. He used an ultrasound to inject my scalenes and my pec minor with a block, and my pain went completely away pretty quickly. My scapular function did not fully return in the 45 minutes before the solution wore off, though. I'm currently scheduled for Botox injections in June, and along with a PT program to strengthen my upper back and scapular muscles so that it doesn't happen again. My pain came back right away, by the way. Mid-May of 2017, I began PT for suspected thoracic outlet syndrome / brachial plexus entrapment. The first PT session focused mostly on releasing the internal rotators as a massage. I saw great relief the day after, but may have gotten too aggressive with the home therapy and felt worse. May 2017, I get on a cancellation list with Dr. Kimberly Harmon at UW. This is where this takes an interesting turn. Sorry if that was difficult to follow because I'm reading off this document that I made two and a half years ago. I go and see Dr. Harmon. I took those EMG tests with me. I took the MRI with me. I took all the post-surgical notes with me for my shoulder. We did the clinical tests. I sent her all of this stuff, so she knew about all these things happening. Despite the mixed bag of different diagnoses that I would get and the imaging that I had, Dr. Harmon said, "Tell me about your stress life. Tell me about the stress in your life. Tell me about what's going on in your life. What do you do for a living? What's your family like? Do you have kids?" That kind of stuff. And I really didn't understand why she was going down this route, but she started explaining to me the function of stress on the body and what can happen and what sort of weird symptoms can happen. And I had told her, you know, I found you because I saw you doing PRP injections on people and doing hydrodissection on people and all these different procedures. So I'm like suggesting to her, here's the things I want you to try to me, which a lot of doctors had done in the past. And then those things didn't work. And I was just out thousands of dollars and no resolution. Dr. Harmon pointed out, I love doing those things as a practitioner. I like doing hydrodissection. I like doing PRP. There's nothing here to treat with those things. And I'd said, but my EMG says this. And she cut me off and said, I don't care what the EMG tests say. It's a psychological problem. And it blew my mind. And somehow over the next few weeks, I started Googling back pain solutions. And I came across Dr. Sarno's book, read Dr. Sarno's book. The first thing that I did was started making a list of what was going on in my life around the time that these symptoms started. And I worked backwards. So going back to when, for instance, like as an example, when did my neck pain get really serious? Well, it was when Dr. Kalfian had said, this problem is coming from your neck. That's when my neck pain started. I go back to September when the back pain really got bad and ultimately what was going on at that time. And it was like, I just went through several months of rehab with my shoulder and expecting, you know, doing it perfectly, doing the rehab perfectly, doing everything the way I feel it should be. And Eddie, don't mess this up. And there was so much fear inside of me. And then I have a problem. You know, I spasm in my up in the pull up rig. And I don't think that's a coincidence. And in the weeks leading up to that, in August, the very beginning of August, I started having knee troubles. And then I got sciatica. And on my list that I was making after I read Dr. Sarno's book, which was a list of when did a symptom start and what was going on in your life during that symptom, there was a really stressful situation at work. Probably the worst work experience I'd ever had. And it's probably still the worst one that I'd ever had. And it had me over the top. It consumed me, this situation that happened at work. I thought about it all the time. every waking moment, I was literally thinking about this thing. And boom, I start getting sciatic. I start getting other nerve problems, things like that. And it's just, you know, it's manifesting. So I start to look back, and then I'm starting to find these correlations of like every, I'm in sales, every quarter, like the tail end of every quarter, every sales quarter, I have flu-like symptoms, or I have tendonitis, or I get a cold, or I get something. It was a one-to-one ratio. It was like perfect how it all aligned. And I start going back even further, and I find a correlation between when a dairy allergy of mine suddenly developed, which I don't have anymore, but a dairy allergy develops, right when we found out we were going to be pregnant with Zoe. It was within a week of finding out we were going to be pregnant with Zoe that I, this longstanding no allergies to any sort of food, I developed this dairy issue. I go back and I start finding the same thing with asthma. So it just, it was a cascade. It's all these things that are going on. And it's just really interesting how that happened. So part of the question that Frederick asked was, tell us about what it is that you did to get better. And I will say that this is a human condition. So it's something that is always going to be occurring, but it's being able to understand and have an understanding around why it's occurring. And there's a couple different camps on this. The total Dr. Sarno camp would say that it is a, it's a, it could be a couple things. TMS could stand for tension myoneural syndrome, myositis syndrome, the mind-body syndrome. Dan Buglio puts it as too much stress. It could be a stress overload. Probably part of what happened when that really stressful thing happened at work. Gosh, and as I say that, my hip starts twitching, very nervy feeling as I'm talking about this stuff. It's crazy as I record this. Too much stress, right? Stress overload. And part of the other thing that I'm thinking about when the sciatica and stuff started is I was so angry at this person that had done this thing at work. But I was being told by my friends at work that we should tell him that it's going to be okay. He's a friend of ours and we should not be hard on him and all this kind of stuff, despite the unethical thing that he did. And so that's what I did. And I know that on one side of me, the ego side was saying, we're going to be nice to this guy and, you know, we're going to help bring the people that are feeling low back up. While inside, I'm just screaming and I just want to rip this guy pillar to post. And so that's a conflict. That's a divided mind. That's a big component of that. So, really, I think the main things that you need to be able to do is sit down and create a list of what sort of things were going on in your life at a particular symptom. And then I think you can make yourself another list of all the things that are occurring in your life right now that are causing you stress or heartache or tension or whatever. And it can be the smallest little things. Be going to your mailbox and your neighbor didn't say anything to you when you went out there. You waved at a car that was passing by that didn't wave to you back. My God, I ride a Yamaha Super Tenere motorcycle and a KLR 250. And when I pet motorcyclists do this thing where when we ride, say I'm going north, the guy that's coming south on his motorcycle, we wave to each other. Fucking Harleys never wave to people that don't ride Harleys. Ross, if you're listening to this, I know you probably would. If you passed me, you would wave. So kudos to you. But it could be something stupid like that. It could also be that you have a really stressful situation at work. It could also be that your kids are acting insane. It could also be that your spouse is pissing you off. So there could be a lot of things that could kind of create these emotional overloads inside of you. And since perfectionists and do-gooders and things like that, they don't get overly upset. They don't get overly emotional. They have a tough time feeling how it is that they feel. They may react. They may throw things. They may say fuck or whatever, but they have a really tough time actually having the experience of a feeling inside. And the people that are on the three principles camp will talk a lot about how we're feeling our thinking all the time, which is completely true. And there's a big fear element to this, that really whatever it is that you believe to be true probably is going to show up as true. So I expected in all these appointments that this guy's not going to have the answer. They're not going to fix me. And they didn't fix me. Or when somebody tells me that, gosh, right as I say that again, my hip starts. And I've never had a hip. My hip has never done anything. And yet as I talk about this, I'm getting these spasms that are going on the left side, which the whole thing is just super wild. But yeah, it's interesting. But I think that awareness of this stuff, and Dr. Sarno would always say that knowledge is really that's the penicillin to what's going on here. And it couldn't be further further than the truth. And I know it's so hard to get back into that headspace if you start having symptoms again, but really that's what you need to do, is be able to say to yourself that I know what's going on, because really that's all that it takes. And if you understand that this is really your thoughts taking over on you and your mind taking over on you and linking into your body, the mind-body connection, and giving you symptoms, that's really when you're going to be free. It doesn't matter what the chronic pain issue is that you have. It's the answer across the board. And even in times of doubt, over the last 2.5 years since I found the work, I may go see a chiropractor, right? It's probably, I don't know, 10 months ago, maybe it was the last time that I, on a whim, thought, oh, maybe this guy does have the answer. And I go in and I inevitably feel worse when I go and see them. And of course, they want me to come in for 15 sessions or whatever. And I inevitably feel worse. And whenever I return to the Sarno TMS thoughts, emotions, feeling emotions, journaling, whatever, that pain dissipates. And so I know that that is the answer. So if you're listening to this and you're having a reoccurrence of some pain or some new symptoms or whatever, and you're doubting, just return back to that place that says this is an emotional issue and your symptoms will subside. You have to be able to live without the fear and stay there, stay in that place though. Happy New Year, everybody. This is longer than I anticipated, 35 minutes. If you have any questions at all, please email me, eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com, or send me a DM. I know this may have been hard to follow, but mainly what I wanted to get across here is all these little details and every little date that I remember, the doctor's names, the diagnosis, the different body parts, all things like that, that totally fits into the personality of somebody who has TMS or chronic pain. They're a perfectionist. They remember everything. They're constantly just an overload all the time. Hyper awareness, hyper vigilance, sympathetic nervous system, all that stuff runs together. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Have a great new year. We'll be back with regular interviews and regular episodes next week. There's a lot of interviews that are sitting in the can right now that are ready to be aired, and I'm so excited for you guys to listen to them. So onward and upward to 2020. Thanks so much for tuning in.